The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Susan Keogh filling in for Matt Cooper on The Last Word this afternoon. Now it's time for our weekly music slot, and I am joined by John Cadell, journalist and broadcaster at rockylikeit.com, and Nadine O'Regan, presenter of Songs in the Key of Life on Today FM and arts editor with the Sunday Business Post. So, Niall Horan's new album tops the US charts. John, are you a Niall Horan fan?
Well, we've talked about Niall before on The Last Word. I was a big
Matt's
fan.
Matt's a big fan.
Yeah, he would be a huge fan.
Matt just loves Niall Horan.
Yeah, he's going to be crucified now that he's not here. I liked the first single from the album that he released very early on this year. Wasn't so much a fan of the second one, but without a shadow of a doubt, he writes good pop songs. No problem there. I just wouldn't really be interested in checking out the album. Thanks very much.
Nadine?
Well, I did check out the album. I was quite curious, actually, because there have been three members of One Direction now with Niall Horan releasing solo albums. And it's a huge risk because as a band, something can succeed and be global and be massive. But then when it breaks up, as we've seen with the Spice Girls, you know, Girls Aloud, you don't know what's going to happen. So there's intrigue in there. And with Niall Horan, similarly, I thought the two singles, you know, one was a bit more folksy, one was very obviously smooth, silky pop orientated. They were decent and they did incredibly well. So the new album had a few listens, and it's very much an album of safe bets. For me, On the Loose, which I think we have a clip of, is by far the most successful track in that it just sounds like a surefire hit, the kind of thing that you'd love even if you weren't necessarily a Niall Horan fan. It's a little bit 1980s, very synthy and very enjoyable. The rest of the album is a little bit more safe, predictable, but undoubtedly the kind of thing that will sell. And actually, it's gone to number one in America, partly fueled by the fact that he's done a very clever thing that Taylor Swift also did, which he has tied in sales of the album to concert tickets.
Okay.
So it's kind of like you can buy a concert ticket and then you can also get the album a deal kind of rate.
It's not great at all. I mean, it's like you're basically, the album is foisted on you if you buy tickets to his gig. So, you know.
But it's still
like
152,000 total copies
tickets
in its first week release. That's kind of a big deal.
How many concert tickets have you sold, John? Anyway, let's have a listen to On the Loose from Niall Horan's number one album, Flicker. Both myself and Nadine swaying away to that. John?
Is that the surefire hit?
The one I love. First track on the album and it's beautiful.
That is going to be a smash.
Now, he has said he is enjoying this solo career, but he'd be back to One Direction in a heartbeat if it happened.
Like a shot. Who wouldn't want a little mannequin doll of yourself?
Now, moving on. Pretenders frontwoman Chrissy Hynde. She stormed off the stage after calling people who used phones at her concert. I can't say what the word was, but John, what do you make of this story? She wasn't happy with them at all.
No, it's classic Chrissy Hynde. We seem to talk about her a lot, Nadine,
on
The Last Word.
We were talking about her last week.
But just
as well.
Sort of by mistake. But it's classic Chrissy Hynde. She was playing a gig in Dubai with the Pretenders, and on her UK tour earlier in the year, she'd put up a Facebook post after it saying, look, sorry, I was a bit of a bitch regarding phones, but I really don't like people using phones on my gigs. And then last week, obviously it was fresh in her mind. In Dubai, they were all filming her.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically, after one song, stormed off the stage saying, this isn't Lady Gaga or Katy effing Perry. If you want to use your effing phones, go and see them, you seize.
But she's making quite a good point. I mean, whatever the language, she's making quite a good point about people who go to concerts and forget that one of the things you're supposed to be doing at a concert is taking in the experience with your own two eyes.
Yeah, well, we talk about this a lot. Like, you know, not being present, watching it through the phone. Are you ever going to really watch it back again? Are you going to, you know?
It's a show-off technique. We all do it, right? So you're like on Insta stories going, hey, guys.
Like back in my day, we had memories. You know, anybody remember things called memories?
No, I feel guilty about it sometimes because I'm sort of thinking, number one, you're holding up your phone, which is annoying the person behind you. And then number two, you're annoying everyone who's now got a serious case of FOMO because they're looking at it on Insta stories or somewhere else. But at the same time, it can be incredibly exciting if you have like a gig that's just blistering you brilliant, like say, I don't know, Radiohead or LCD Sound System or whoever else, and you really do want to capture it, but then but I think there is an element to that.
Yeah, like, well, don't
I
think be showing off. Like, you know, lots of people couldn't make the gig or couldn't get the tickets.
But then people have actually texted me and said, I actually really liked being able to see a part of the gig
They have. The only people that comment on videos
are
morons on YouTube.
It's a true story, Jan.
What about other artists, though? Lots of them hate this, don't they? They hate to be performing.
Why? I hate it as an audience member. I hate seeing these people putting up their phones to capture the magic of the gig.
So you'd never take your phone out at a gig?
Never. Not even for a picture. The missus might do it once in a while and I'd scowl and she'd stop.
Wow, that's something to enjoy. Now, since last week's music slot, Fats Domino has died. John, tell us a little bit about him for people who don't know a whole lot about him.
Yeah, Fats Domino was, he probably wouldn't consider himself one of the early pioneers of rock and roll, but he certainly was. He just wasn't as up front and centre as the likes of Little Richard or Elvis Presley. Partly down to his personality, he was sort of a quiet, shy individual, never put himself forward the way Chuck Berry might have. Was like, okay, yes, I have birthed all of this. But Fats Domino, very much, I mean, none other than Paul McCartney said he was a huge influence. And the song that everyone's playing is Blueberry Hill, of course. I mean, there's other songs like Ain't That a Shame, which tower over Blueberry Hill, as far as I'm concerned.
And Elvis had spoken actually about it. I think at one point somebody said, pointed to Elvis and said, there's the king. And Elvis turned around and pointed to Fats Domino, who's backstage, and said, no, there's the king.
Yeah.
Because Elvis would freely have admitted and said in interviews that he couldn't sing the way Fats Domino could sing. And that in itself is testament to the man.
But I wonder if he'd started out today, would he have to be called something else?
Well, didn't he joked at himself a lot to do with his name, didn't he? I think it was his song.
Yeah.
Was it Fat Man, The Fat Man?
The Fat Man, yeah, in 1949, yeah. But now, with these days, it'd probably have to be called The Slightly Overweight Domino.
But you're right. Everybody talking about Blueberry Hill. This song actually really reminds me of my granny because she loved this song. Let's listen to a clip of it.
Found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill, when I found you, the moon stood still on Blueberry.
Fats Domino there with Blueberry Hill.
You can now, just hear the DNA of rock and roll in that song.
Yeah, it's fab. Yeah. Now, Stranger Things, Nadine, I'm going to come to you on this. Season two, everybody's been talking about this all weekend.
And I am exhausted, Susan. Like,
from the all-nighters.
Oh my God. I kept trying to like only watch one or only watch two or only watch like three. I could not believe how much it took over my life this weekend. Now, I was a huge fan of Stranger Things in its first season. And so the idea that it was coming back, as soon as the email landed in my inbox, I was like, well, that's the weekend. I know what I'm doing.
I'm not leaving the house.
And of course, I mean, it's this 1980s set series coming from Indiana, where it's a bunch of gorgeous, like young characters who have such a great friendship. And then all manner of supernatural and spooky things begin happening. And Winona Ryder is brilliant as the mom character.
She's brilliant in it.
So amazing. And yeah, it was just a dream to watch. I'm not going to give out any spoilers.
No.
9 episodes, and I'm sure people are still watching them. But one thing that I can say is that the music in the second series more than lives up to its predecessor. It's just gorgeous. You've got tracks like Cyndi Lauper with Time After Time, which soundtracks a school dance, and it's just fantastic. And then there's The Police's Every Breath You Take, which is really pivotal in one scene. And then, of course, we have Ghostbusters. And one of the things that I really like about Stranger Things, I mean, some people say it's derivative because there's an element of
I just think it's not very good.
I struggled. You're mad.
I watched three episodes of season one and I could not bring myself to watch another episode.
What do you not like about
Why
it?
Why not?
What? It's nonsense. Winona Ryder jittering there the whole time. And
I think she's brilliant at it.
And just... Was the demagogue or some nonsense? Like, I just,
well, it's the demodogs in the new series.
Oh right, okay. I was like, this could never happen.
I
was like,
oh well, I think we're pretty sure.
I know, and I'm pretty good. I mean, I like Star Wars, but like, I just Stranger Things. It was just something happened, please. And where is the young fella? Like, you know, I just want to find out where he is, but I don't want to spend 8 hours finding it out.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to Ghostbusters. Now, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. John, that brings us nicely to our Halloween songs.
Yeah.
For the day that's in it. What's your Halloween pick?
Well, Nadine mentioned Thriller in her list. I'm sorry, Nadine, I'm gonna take over. I'm gonna say when we were in Phantom, we used to on Halloween we used to play a bunch of old Halloweeny type songs.
Yeah.
And because we thought we were deadly, we'd play Ian Brown's version of Thriller and it was just crap. And we were like, we're too cool to play Michael Jackson. Until we got to the point where, you know, you can think you're cool to the point that you're actually being a knob. So we actually cracked out Thriller. There is no better Halloween song than
but
Michael
also,
Jackson's Thriller.
I mean, the production on Thriller is just magnificent.
Yeah.
I mean, it stands up today, as does that entire album. As, you know, even now when you play something from that album,
yeah,
it feels so current. It's amazing.
Yeah. Lots of other good Halloween songs though as well, Nadine, yeah?
Absolutely, absolutely. I love, and I don't think it's like, it wasn't meant to be a Halloween song, but The Cure's Lullaby, which came from, I think, their 1989 album, Disintegration, just is this really creepy story of like a spider coming closer and closer to you. Now, it's meant to be, fans have speculated that it's actually about either addiction or issues with mental health. But when I first heard it, I just thought it was the scariest and most brilliant song. Loved it.
Also, you mentioned I Put a Spell on You, Nina Simone. That's a great one too.
Yeah, gorgeous. Like just, again, a very haunting vocal. And Nina Simone, I mean, of course, that song's been covered so many times, but just really beautiful as well. And I know, I don't know if this counts, but Spirit in the Sky, John, would we get away with that one? Going on up to the Spirit in the Sky.
That's about the Lord Jesus more
I
than anything.
I know, but come on, Spirit, Sky, it's now from 1969,
we'll
but it has endured.
Somebody just put into iTunes Spirit.
No, I was actually sitting at my desk and I thought, hang on, Spirits? And I was like, I love it. Now, little fun fact, actually, the Ray Parker Jr. track, he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Song in 1984 for Ghostbusters, but he actually lost out to Stevie Wonder with I Just Called to Say I Love You.
And rightly so, because it was a rip-off of Huey Lewis and the News, I Want a New Drug, and he was
yeah,
he was taken to court and Huey Lewis won, as he always should. In anything.
Now, before I let you go, albums of the week. John, what's yours?
Well, for the last couple of weeks, I've been ridiculed.
Because he's justifiably ridiculed for putting in old albums.
I like to call them reissues. And Matt and Nadine were both taking me to task. So this week I knew that I had to find something new. And,
okay,
and it wasn't difficult because last Thursday it was announced that Fever Ray's second album would come out the following day. So Friday saw the release of the second album from Fever Ray. And I said, right, well, here's my album of the week, if it's any way decent. And it absolutely is. So fans of the debut record, it's out. Absolutely no pre-promotion, but Karen's back with a second album. And it's everything you would want it to be.
And Nadine, Sam Smith is on your list?
Yeah, and I'm putting this one in more because of the scale of it, really. Sam Smith is, he's been seen as the male Adele. This is the second release. It is hotly anticipated. Now, lyrics-wise, actually the lyrics are brilliant, really vulnerable. He's kind of battling a lot of issues on this album, you know, trying to find love, issues around his own, I suppose, success and personality and
massive eye roll happening here from John Cadell.
No, I will say, look,
he looks
completely
different, doesn't he?
He does. He's a lot thinner. He is a lot thinner. And he has kind of battled, especially when, do you remember in 2016 he won the Academy Award for Best Song? And then he said he was the first openly gay person to win an Oscar, which turned out, as people were very fast to remind him, was not actually true. And he was a bit mortified by that, and he retreated to London and just lived with his sister. He has a beautiful vocal.
He does, absolutely.
Now,
stop with your albums whinging about how hard fame is. Like, as Liam Gallagher said, if you don't want this fame, then go off and work in a shop.
Yeah, but he needs something to explore in his lyrics, John.
But everyone's second album.
Do you want
album,
him to be like Jay-Z and be like, oh, I got all the people?
I was worried there for a second.
He's playing Dublin early next year. Is it March?
He's in the Three Arena next March.
Okay, that's all we have got time for today. That's Nadine O'Regan and John Cadell. Thanks so much for talking to us.
99 problems and a person ain't one.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.